Welcome to Your Weekly Dose podcast, the only show for those who missed the Mark and Brian radio program. Coming to you from Orange County in Southern California. Hear it happen live without a net every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Download past episodes directly from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, Podbean, Stitcher, and make sure you leave a review. Now, here's this week's show.
Said she loves me, yes, yes, she does. Gonna show me tonight, yeah. She got the way to move me, Jerry.
She got the way to move me. She got the way to move me.
Oh, yeah, she moves me all the time, too. I love it when she moves me. Welcome, everybody. Of course, happy Saturday to all of you guys out there. We got a full house today. Absolutely. We got everybody's here. I love it, love it, love it. And this is Your Weekly Dose podcast.
Thank you so much for joining us today as we are streaming live to you from Orange County, California. If you're new to Your Weekly Dose, this program is about having fun. We recap our past week experiences and enlighten your day through laughter.
That's right. We're laughing at all the things we experience in everyday life, the embarrassments, the silly things, the awkward things, even the things we're afraid to talk about, but we still do.
The things that connect us all, the things that make us human. And as they say, laughter is the best medicine.
And to all of our listeners, old and new, we always love it when you guys are a part of the show and join in the conversation. Of course, you can do that several ways. Comment on each of our episodes on our website, yourweeklydose.com.
Or send a message via Twitter or Instagram at yourweeklydose1.
Say hello to us on Facebook at yourweeklydose.
Or just send us a personal message by email at yourweeklydose1@gmail.com.
Yes. Well, we got a pretty cool show for you guys today. We're going to be doing a little bit of a past moment that we do traditionally here on the show. And, of course, it's all about daddies today. That's right. Yours, mine, everybody else's. It's all about the dads because tomorrow is Father's Day. And they need to get the credit that they deserve because they do so much on so little of a budget.
That's true. That's true. And without complaining ever either.
Exactly.
You can always download past shows for free from our website, yourweeklydose.com. But if you're on the go, subscribe through iTunes, iHeartRadio, or Spotify. Just search Your Weekly Dose. And most importantly, tell others what you think of us. So please rate and review the show.
Absolutely. Of course, today's theme song is Cherry Cherry by the great Neil Diamond for National Cherry Tart Day. And, of course, any of the music that we play here, you can always get from our main sponsor, which is Amazon. All you have to do is go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and shop to your heart's delight. Get any of the music that we play or anything that you need for you around the house. Doesn't matter, because they're going to be there for you and deliver it right to your door. Just boom, there. Whether it's broken or not, they don't care. They'll just toss it over the fence, over the fence or the gate or whatever. Sometimes they'll gently put it down right in front of the doorstep there, and then when you walk out, you step on it, and then you got to buy it again, so because you just broke it. But that's what you want to do is use the Amazon banner. You a big Neil Diamond fan?
Yeah, I like him. I like him.
What's some of your favorite songs from his?
There was that one about the traveling the church group that goes around the tents.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
I know someone. We'll travel and show.
That one. Yeah, that one's a good one.
I like it every time he goes, you. That's what I like about him.
Does he do that often?
He does, yeah. You know, most of the songs, whatever, you.
That's true. Yeah. Oh, and he has a song about an invisible friend that was like his only friend as a boy. It's kind of a sad, melancholy song about
I don't remember what that one
Shiloh.
Is. Shiloh. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Shiloh was like his invisible friend.
You know how he got it started, though?
No.
He was a young songwriter working for Donny Kirshner, who was what they called the Golden Ear back in the 60s, and out of New York, and he was part of a songwriting pool, so to speak. And that's how he got to write. He wrote two songs that they ended up being a Monkees hit.
Yes.
The first one was I'm a Believer, and the other one was A Little Bit Me, A Little Bit You.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how he got his start till he came out to be his own and
that's cool.
Performer,
performer and everything. Yeah. So
yeah, talented guy.
Very talented guy. Yeah. And of course, I think one of his best albums, those Hot August Nights.
Mm-hmm.
When Neil was done live, and oh, so good.
He's good. Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Are you a Neil Diamond fan, Mia?
Not too much.
Too Jewish?
No.
No. Okay. Just asking.
Him or her?
Him.
Oh. Okay.
Pretty. I'm putting it on the spot. She's like, okay, where do I go from here?
Yeah, I've heard some of his stuff, I'm sure, but yeah, uh-huh. Not. I mean,
I'm sure.
I'm sure.
Sorry, Sweet Caroline is the.
Oh, Sweet Caroline's like the big hit. Yeah, everybody
course,
knows
yeah,
that.
I've
yeah.
That
now the Red Sox fans own that song, right?
Do they really?
Pretty much. Yeah.
It's identified with them.
Yeah. 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 Now they've kind of taken it over.
Hmm. Well, because I didn't even know. Was it like with my son Roman? Some of the theater groups or whatever, they have like a show going on or whatever, mm-hmm. they'll always play it, and of course the kids are always singing bum bum bum, yes. You know, so good.
That song
so
gets
good.
Stuck in your head.
Yeah.
Really.
Oh yeah,
it's
absolutely
awful. I left the Carolinas and assumed I'd left that song behind.
Oh no.
And it just travels into different states. Yeah,
it smack you on the ass.
It does. It's not even the right state, guys.
Dude, I miss the Carolinas. I love it over there.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
What is it that you like most?
It's just so lush. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just gorgeous. It's like, and it's like you just go outside and, like, it's like instant dopamine just from how bright and colorful everything is.
Mm-hmm.
Not like out here. Right. It's kind of dry and...
Yeah, we got to bring the green here because we're a desert.
Yeah,
so.
No, literally, yeah.
It's so sad.
It is.
No, I do like, I got to stay with some friends of mine in Charlotte. And
yeah.
I just fell in love with that city. And it's a really, you know, because to me it was like a good combination between the hustle and bustle of the city when you're in downtown Charlotte.
Yeah.
And then you've got the country, like, almost immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
Kind of a thing.
And even
so,
on their highways, like, it's just green everywhere. Like, it's amazing. It's like that in Ohio, too. Like,
mm-hmm.
green, it's just green is everywhere. What was I going to say? And honestly, like, I've been to quite a bit of places in North Carolina. I'd say, like, the best is, like, Lake Forest area. Like, which is, like, a couple hours, like, four hours east of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Charlotte's a pretty cool city. Not a huge fan, but I like Lake Forest, or even like just the beaches out there are beautiful. And then also like Asheville. I think Asheville is a lot of people's favorites.
Yeah, that's really nice. I think what was amazing to me about Charlotte was once 5 o'clock comes around, how everything just closed down.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's like the only thing that stayed open were like the restaurants.
Yeah.
And
actually,
that was it.
Yeah.
And then they closed like at 8:30, 9 o'clock, and after that it's dead. You're lucky if you get a taxi cab in downtown Charlotte at 9 o'clock at night. Yeah. You really have to know where to go.
Yeah.
You know, for the nightlife and everything.
When I was there, because when I was traveling alone, a lot of my rules was like, don't go out past, you know, night because solo travel as a woman and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a rule?
Not really.
Well for her,
me,
it was.
Just because...
Gosh, I was like, no one's informed me.
No.
No, like, you didn't get the memo?
No.
Because, like, being across the country, you know, by yourself when, like, most of your friends and family is in California, it was just, like, a rule for me. Like, it's like I try to be home, like, before dark, just as a general thing.
So the streetlights come on, and you go home.
Yeah, yeah.
Got it.
So I kind of... I don't really know much of... The nightlife in that area specifically, because that was kind of like one of my first places that I went when I started traveling.
See, I'm kind of the opposite of that whole thing.
The
street lights come on, I go out and
find
the nightlife.
Yeah.
But there really is a cool place out there in Charlotte called Independence Road.
Mm-hmm.
It's really nice because it's there. It's like about a mile and a half, 2 mile strip of nothing but bars.
Oh, cool.
And the thing is, that's where all the music scene is.
Yeah.
So it's like you can go to this bar on this side of the street, go see jazz, go across the street, see you have a metal band.
Oh, that's it.
You know, go 3 bars down and see a country band, you know, then go across the street from that one, see a blues band.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it was really cool. So to see that and go to the different bars. And there was a place right when, because the year that I went was the year the Panthers started the first year. They had just finished building the stadium and everything.
What year?
95, 96.
Yeah, probably somewhere in there.
Crap, that was a wild
and time. there was a bar, a whole just a dive bar right across from the stadium.
It's probably completely different now, to
and,
be honest.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it's changed.
I've seen the stadium. It's
And
cool.
It was really cool because you walk in the bar and you enter it, and there's this long hallway kind of a thing. And then on the right side, the wall finally opened up, bars on the left. And there was these four older black men putting down a 4x8 sheet piece of plywood down on the floor because there was a big hole in the stage. And they were covering up. And then they had it set up and everything. Uh-huh. And then later on, this older black lady comes in a red sequins gown. Most amazing blues I've heard in years. Hmm. And I'm just like, oh, my God. I just was soaking it up.
That's so
much.
Cool.
You know, this little dive bar place, you know.
Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was really awesome.
During my travels, I also wasn't 21, so a lot of that stuff I
Well, you could have stood outside and heard the music, too, so, you know. Had a glass of water, soda, whatever.
I have been in a number of clubs across the country. I didn't drink in any of them. I just, like, found a way in, but...
As you should.
Yeah.
As but she definitely should. Didn't drink when she
no,
was inside.
No, I swear. No,
yeah,
actually,
yeah, neither. No, she's not that neither. Kind of a girl. No,
I swear.
Nobody, none of us have.
Yeah, yeah. Because right. None of us do that, yeah.
So. I'm a good girl.
Yeah, she's a very good
just
girl.
Just sneaking into bars, no yeah. Big deal.
No, because I just wanted to dance, but none of the bouncers believed me. They were like, you're not going in there just to dance. I'm like, I just want to dance, man.
See, look, I'm dancing right now.
Underage dancing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, oops. All right, well, should we go ahead and catch up with each other? All right, well, I want to start with my good buddy, Forrest. Forrest, how was your week?
It was good. It was good. I've been busy.
What did you do?
Well, I've told you about these medical products I've been doing commercials for, and I had a dream last night.
Uh-oh.
Apparently, it's been on my mind because I get a call in my dream, and they say, we want you to do another commercial. And I say, cool, what's it for? And they said, it's for a hospice care.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, okay. And they said, you know, it's like childcare for kids, but just at the end of your life.
Childcare for kids, but at the end of your life.
And
I like that.
That was the pitch for the commercial. And I was like, oh, all right, I guess this is the last commercial I'm ever going to do. And
wow.
And that's how I woke up.
You know what? I see a bit right there. I really see a bit for us, you know.
You do a...
If that's a slogan.
That is a slogan. They were making it sound like a nice little preschool for kids, but... At the end of your life.
At the end of your life.
Yeah.
Hey, Billy.
Cycle.
Just right. Just have fun. Just go
come
play
on in.
In the corner.
Play with these blocks.
Right.
Let's see what happens.
Forget about time for a little while.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, my
gosh. I see a bit, dude. I see a bit on that
we
one.
We can work on
yeah,
that one.
Yeah, we can work on a bit
make,
for that.
Make my
that's
dream
that's
come true.
Oh, my God. So when did you finally wake up from this dream?
What like, instantly. I was like, this is it. This is the last commercial. And I woke up and went, all right, let's start the day.
That's
oh my
funny.
God!
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
That's been on the brain.
And how did the commercial go?
It was good. It was good. Yeah. This was for a red light product, and it actually I could feel it working. It glows red lights on wherever you have pain, and it kind of is a I don't know self therapy.
Self healing.
Kind of. Yeah. I thought I would recommend it.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it a special red light or is it a...
An infrared light.
An infrared light.
Medical grade.
Medical
yes,
infrared
yes, yes.
grade light.
So, yeah. Did shot that and had to wrap it around a few body parts and...
Hello.
Was in. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. You know, just, you know, tasteful
yeah.
nudity.
Yeah.
And,
like an elbow?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. A little shoulder.
Yeah.
Wow.
And,
how scandalous.
Right. Right. Use an alias in my credit. You know, I don't want to... Use my real name in the credits for
right?
That, right?
Yeah.
Did they pixel you?
Oh, the
they pixeled your face.
Yeah. We'll do that.
Yeah.
We'll do that.
So Nia's rules are she's not allowed out after dark and no elbows to be seen.
Conservative upbringing.
I mean, I know the Pentecostals are about the knees, but I didn't know the elbows
wow.
were a thing.
Elbows, that gateway body part.
Yeah, right. That weenus, oh, no. you know?
Once you show the elbow. Yeah. Yeah.
That means yes.
Yes.
Once you touch one of the yeses, it's all of the yeses, you know?
It's all of the yeses. Oh, no. Oh yeah. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Speaking of Nia, how was your week?
It was good, yeah. To be honest, I don't really remember much of what I did.
Ah, drinking again, huh?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, no, actually.
You got a 21-year-old you living life.
Oh, wait. Last weekend, I went to a party. I remember that.
See?
That's why she doesn't remember the rest of the week.
I know, exactly.
I vaguely remember a party.
And yeah, because that was Sunday.
I just wanted to dance.
There were a lot of people there. Probably a party.
Yeah, that was on Sunday. yeah, it was really fun. It was, like, with some of the people that I met in my college classes, and so it was just a, it was a small gathering. It was, like, there were probably, like, 7 or 8 of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but it was really fun just, like, seeing them, and, yeah, then we're gonna all hang out and, like, go to the beach, a couple days from now, and so, yeah, it's just nice to, like, I haven't seen my college friends in, like, a few weeks, and so to just see them again and spend time with them.
Cool. Nice, nice. Oz, how was your week?
Oh, well, fine. You know, same old, same old. I was productive.
Nice.
Like my bestie Casey says, you know, being productive is important. That's a good thing.
I'll let you know that when I actually start getting stuff done, though. Well, do as I say, not as I do.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. It's important for me, right, she says.
Right. If I were to give advice to myself.
Very appropriate for Father's Day is this do as I say.
Oh, boy, there's a lot of those.
The ultimate Father's Day. Yeah. But other than that, yeah, nothing special. Cool. Did last week, we did the 200th episode of my CFL podcast.
Wow.
My podcast on
congratulations.
Yeah, we've been doing that since 2015. Wow. And we celebrated that 2 weeks ago by doing absolutely nothing. We didn't even acknowledge.
That's a great way to celebrate.
Yeah, we didn't even acknowledge it was 200. I am not a big one on the whole round numbers thing. Anyway, if you're doing a weekly show and you're going to celebrate by the numbers, shouldn't that be like 52? Like 104? You know, because you're doing like it based on years, right? So, but anyway, so this week we had a retrospective, and in fact, I can blame my co-host for not making your party.
Oh, so, no worries.
He is like, oh, I can't do it on Monday or Tuesday. We got to do it on Wednesday, and I was like, damn. So, no. And I have a gift for you, but it still hasn't arrived yet.
Oh, don't even worry
so
about it.
So we'll probably do it live on the show next week.
Yeah, don't even worry about that, brother.
Birthday in a month.
Oh, no, it's not Amazon. It's not Amazon. And I would like to, in fact, plug the place. We're not actually getting paid for this, but there's a tremendous site online called Alibris. Alibris, and what it is basically it's like find any used book you've ever thought of. It seems to be a network of used bookstores throughout the country.
Oh, that's so
and
cool.
Oh, it's dope.
Yeah,
it's awesome. Literally, like any book that's like out of print, because most 99% of out of print stuff you just can't get on Amazon.
Mm. Yeah,
like if they still have some in the warehouse, okay, you can get it, but that's it. When it goes out of print, you can't get it again. And so just think of any book you've ever seen in your life. You can find it at Alibris.com.
Yeah. Cool.
That's cool.
And so there's a giveaway for you, Sean.
All right,
it's a book.
It's a book.
But we're going to, if anybody reads books or gives books anymore, I always give books on holidays. But,
nice.
So there you go. That's
very
my
cool.
week. A lot of podcasting, a lot of production, a lot of writing.
That's good. I have a friend of mine.
Yay me, go me.
Yeah, I have a friend of mine where she always say, always be producing.
Right.
You know, and
ABP.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Casey, how was your week?
Week was busy with just work, just tedious things. But yesterday was pretty cool on the Drop Zone. My niece came out. She lives in Virginia, and her boyfriend is out here currently. His father's in the Navy, so he travels around quite a bit with his dad wherever he's got to be. And so she came out here to visit him for a little while he's out this way. And so while they were within like an hour, so they drove out to Paris here and decided to go do a skydive, which was really nice. So both of them came out, and I got it for her for a graduation present. And it was cool because Mateo took her, right? Because he's the tandem instructor. So he was able to take her on the on her first skydive. And I wasn't able to go with them, but I was able to be on the plane with them. So I went up on the plane, and then I sort of waved off to them and jumped out just a few people prior to them. And then they went down and met them in the landing area with my parachute and everything. So it was really a cool thing. Yep. And then my buddy of mine actually got to take his own mother on a her first skydive.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? I thought that that was pretty cool. I was like, oh my gosh, she gave you life and then you saved hers. It's It was really cool, and he's got a ton of photos of them, and they geek out the camera the whole time. It was really
That's awesome.
Yep. Yeah, and Dominique's got good photos to take home. That's my niece, so she's got a lot of good memories that she's been making out here. She's at Disneyland today.
Ooh.
I know. She's gone twice the time that she's been here. She's been here for, like, I don't know, a two-week period of time.
Yeah, she's gone twice.
Yeah, I know. I think she's trying to hit up both of the parks, like both sides.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want to get an annual pass one day, once it gets, like, back to the normal.
Back to, they did something recently, too, where they discontinued something else or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what Disney's doing or what they're thinking or whatever, because even when I was working there, I found out that basically the annual pass holders is what's keeping the park alive.
Really?
Yeah, because it was, like, at that time, it was something like 65 or 75% of the people coming through the gate were annual pass holders.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would you discontinue something that's keeping the park
going?
You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Well, probably because they could make more revenue off of people just having to buy tickets as opposed to...
Yeah, the out-of-town people buy more concessions, buy more...
But even if they made... even if they forced the people in town to buy tickets on a daily basis instead of having an annual pass, they would make far more profit.
Yeah. Yeah. There was upwards of like a million pass holders at
Well, probably more than that,
and,
really.
And they don't, you know, they don't spend a lot of money when they go so many times. So it's the tourists.
Well, they learn the shortcuts of certain things or whatever. But I mean,
parking and
Bring food in the car, go back out and visit, then you can go back into the park or go out and eat.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just, like, you learn kind of the ways to navigate around.
I was an idiot. I never did any of that.
Mm-hmm.
My dad's always been, like, really good at teaching us, like, money skills and, like, little hacks for anywhere that we travel. And so even us as tourists, like, we would, like, just have little... He would figure out the little things to do. He's really good at that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
Fathers.
Very good.
Yeah.
Hey, dads are good. Dads are good. For me, kind of same thing. Yesterday was a busy day. All week long, my son Roman was doing a camp for his choir. And so last night they did their performance and everything. So we went to go see that last night, which was kind of fun.
What did they do, Sweet Caroline?
Yes, they did. Three times, as a matter of fact.
All right. Great.
So, it was a really good job because what they do is they get a lot of kids from either out of district or within the district from the elementary schools and the middle schools and everything, and they have to learn to do a show within a week and everything. So so last night was the performance, and it was good. It was a neat little show. It only lasted a half an hour. So I'm going, wow. Normally it's
Jesus, that was a good one.
Yeah, ooh, I know. Like, that was a good crack.
I know.
Wait, let's hurry.
No.
That's what I call relief.
Guys, there's a mute at the microphone.
Yeah. I wanted to hear it.
Do the show.
Yeah.
Bam!
So, anyway, that's what I got for my week and everything. So, it wasn't too bad. But, you know, speaking of fathers, though, tomorrow is Father's Day. And, of course, you know, we want to celebrate the daddies. And so we're going to start off with some Father's Day tweets here for you. So it's about dad's quotes and what others have said about their fathers and what their fathers have said to them. So we're going to start off with that. We got the theme, the tweet theme.
Do we want to organize an order, Nia? Do you want to?
I know I'm after you.
Should we plan a...
Or am I after him?
Alphabetical?
No? After him, right? It goes you, him.
Sure.
I was literally going over it in my mind when I was like, okay, what's the order here?
What's the order?
All right, tweets about dad quotes here. Here we go. Let's see. I asked my dad if I looked fat in my bathing suit at the beach, and he said, keep drinking, and you won't care.
My teen yelled at me, "Dad, it's not your job to embarrass me." And I said, "I know, it's one of the perks."
That is so true. That is very true.
Bonus.
My sister once asked my dad what he thought of her dating someone named Hansel. And he said back, and that was a... All he said back was, "I bet you'd regret all that."
Dad joke.
Yep, very big dad joke. On my first driving lesson, we passed the cemetery, and my dad said, "Buckle up, that's where the bad drivers go." That's a
funny comment though. On that, actually. It was the one time my dad got cut off by a hearse.
Really?
Yeah, and this is one of the wittiest things I've ever witnessed my father do. He just looked at me and he goes, "In a real hurry to get in the back of that thing, huh?" I looked ahead and I realized it was a hearse. I was like, wow.
Nice.
Dark.
That's clever.
No, timing. Timing. Yeah. It's all in the timing. Yeah. It's all in the timing.
Well, some of us have played catch with our dad when my dad admitted when I was older that he always threw the baseball right at my head because it taught me to catch pretty quick.
That's true, yeah.
It's not as funny, but it's true.
Damn, like borderline abuse, but it's okay. Once my dad came to my band show and didn't take any pictures, asked him why, and he said, "Nobody wants to remember this."
Wow. Nobody wants to remember this.
Fair enough.
Yeah, exactly.
Damn.
My dad adamantly stated, "Essential oils are used to fry onion rings, wings, and french fries. All other oils are not essential."
What do you do when a stranger gives you drugs? Say thank you, because drugs are expensive.
Damn right they are.
That's right.
I know. Jeez-o. Some people are like, it's so funny that some people just like give them out for like free. I'm like, what?
It's called a sample.
They're expensive. I've never bought them, but.
You're just here to dance.
Precisely.
To Sweet Caroline.
I just want to dance. No, really.
Sweet Caroline.
Just really, I want
to
dance.
I'm here to dance, and then I babysit the, like, 29-year-olds who are off the rails.
She's just here to dance, but home before dark and no elbows exposed.
Hey, I didn't say my elbows wouldn't be exposed.
Just that's risque?
I was just kidding.
It's the knees.
Oh, no. Okay, wait, who's next, Sean?
You are.
What? I thought I just said... Wait.
No, that was hers.
Oh.
You remember, drugs are expensive, so.
My dad would drop me off at school in the morning and say, "If you don't hear a rumor by 10, start one."
Wow.
That's damn. Actually good advice right there, really.
Yeah. What?
That's survival in a small town.
I like that.
I know the small town. My little neighborhood. Ooh.
My dad once told me, "Don't feel bad if you strike out. Just means we can get out of here sooner."
Fair.
Wow. This could also be called things I told my therapist about.
Exactly. Wow. These are from case files.
Right.
They're not from Twitter.
My dad always tells me, "Don't use your turn signal. It's no one else's business where you're going."
The SoCal drivers out here, bro. Not funny.
Yeah, tell the officer that.
I actually like that one.
Oh, fuck, is it me?
When will she notice?
Alright, next time there's a long pause, put on the Jeopardy music. See what happens.
We'll do the countdown.
That's my cue. After the first time I got drunk, my dad told me to be careful. He said alcoholism doesn't fun in the family.
Doesn't run, sorry.
Yeah, that's just a misprint. Alcoholism doesn't run in the family, it gallops. One time I heard my friend say, "You know, there's a reason I don't drink. It's because I have Irish and Scottish blood, so it basically runs in my genetics." Because, like, they drink a shit ton.
We're laughing on the inside.
Whatever. I laughed when he said it.
Excuse me. All right. It says, "My face got really sunburned when I said, 'My face really hurts.' My dad said, without missing a beat, said, 'It's not as bad as it's hurting me.'"
Yeah.
Killing me.
Yeah.
That's very dad.
Very dad.
My granddad would say this toast at weddings to the three rings of marriage: the engagement ring, oh, the wedding ring, and the suffering.
Ugh.
Yep.
Damn.
My dad. Boy. My dad had a joke like that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would say he would say that was it. Marriage is like a three ring circus.
Oh yeah.
Always got the same answer. Why are you laughing?
That's good.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's good.
Jesus.
It's good.
Nice pause.
Always got the same answer. Me, hey, Dad, do you know what? Does what know me? Or like, hey, I'm hungry. Hi, yeah, hungry. I'm Dad.
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah.
Million times.
Classic. Yep.
And it's the worst when you're hungry, too, because you're like hangry and you're like, I'm not taking
I'm
this
not
right
in
now.
The mood for this
like, if anything, this is the worst time to say that.
Don't piss me off. We asked my dad why he still had a really old cologne bottle, and he said, I only used it four times.
Well,
there's four kids in the family.
Oh, my gosh. It works every time.
It works every time. Like clockwork.
My dad's was Brute in the green, little green bottle. Brute
Ew.
Cologne.
My dad was Old Spice.
Old Spice. Oof.
Yeah.
Classic. My dad looked in the mirror, turned to me, and casually said, it's hard to improve on perfection.
That's true. It is. It really is.
Wow.
When I was younger, I was playing softball, and I told my dad I was afraid to get hit. He responded, it's okay. We have insurance. Who made that noise? What was that?
Just a joke.
That was the opposite of my family.
Really?
Yeah, my family's like, you can do all the sports, but if you're hurt, we're just going to put some ice on it.
Damn.
If you wake up in the morning and it still hurts, then we'll go to the hospital.
Then we'll go to the hospital, yeah.
Like my sister fell out of her bed one night.
Is there an end to the
story? Hit the ground's crying, right? Meh, we put ice on it. My parents do the thing, right? Well, you know, go back to bed. It's just hurt, you know, it's fine. We wake up in the morning, it's like three times the size.
Oh, shit.
It's like three times the size. She's still wailing.
No! Wow.
A slipped fracture where it's like totally out of the way.
For a few years in a row, my family kind of had a thing about, for whatever reason, we would always end up visiting a Med-7, like an urgent care, for like holidays. So like Father's Day, Mother's Day. Like for a while, it was like a couple.
Is that like a tradition in your family?
I guess. It would happen. And my mom just was like, no more injuries on holidays. She was like fed up with all the injuries that would just happen to be on holidays.
Well, here's an injury that most people might like, especially certain fathers. It says, my dad, when painting a room, kept the window shut. He says you can get a real buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Cheaper than drugs.
That's right.
Fair enough, yeah. But unless you get them from a stranger.
True.
Don't know why they're so...
Sherman Williams is not a stranger? I don't know him personally.
Actually, that's fair.
Yeah.
I don't know him personally.
Well, the ingredients are on the...
The ingredients.
Won't stay out past dark, but can't understand why a stranger would give her drugs.
Just show an elbow.
Well, whenever I would tell my dad I was going to the bathroom, he would say, mention my name and you'll get a good seat.
Wow.
Yeah.
It does work.
Yeah?
It does work. Yeah.
Oh, hey. Oh.
Hey.
Speaking of...
My dad.
No.
Oh.
Speaking of, you know, commercials, Doc offered to prescribe Dad Viagra. Dad said, why put lead in the pencil when you have no one to write to? That's your next line.
That is.
Bummer.
That's the next commercial.
No, I draw the line. I draw the line at that one.
I've told you guys about my swim instructors, right? Who had the license plates that said, and Mrs. Viagra, because he, like, invested in Viagra super early and then it exploded and so they were really wealthy.
So to speak.
Exploded.
So, yeah.
Sure did.
As it should.
Yeah, and they were very wealthy and they had cars that had the like vanity plates that said Mr. and Mrs. Viagra.
Yeah, I remember
that's
that.
That's funny. And there you go, guys. Those are some tweets from Dad's quotes.
Viagra stock exploded. That's like a dad joke.
Yeah,
that's a dad joke.
It really is. It's on the rise.
It's on the rise.
Oh, man. Nice. All right. Well, we got some advice from dads, too. Of course, dads always give out some wonderful advice. So this is a little bit more of a serious side of things here. Well, hello.
Dads can be serious, too.
Yeah, we can be. We can be. What was the best advice that your dad gave you?
Oh, geez. Oh, man. I'm going to have to think about that one.
Really?
I don't know. He would... I have to think of, like, a serious answer here. He was always, like, really supportive, and so that came through not in, like, a little wisdom or, like, a little nugget of a line, but, like, he was always very supportive and, like, taught me to be cautious with my money and my actions, and, you know, he was like, really consistent and good in that. So I think he walked the walk more than talked the talk. He was more of, like, those dads that's very few words, you know. So just more like the way he modeled things for me was more like how the advice I would say. I wish I had a better anecdote.
No. I mean, that's fine. That's fine. No, I think for me, we talked briefly about it last week. You know, the best advice my dad, I think, really gave me. I mean, it's the difference between advice versus life lessons, you know. But the best advice, you know, was finding a career. And he said, find something you like to do, whatever it is. It doesn't matter, you know. If you want to be a doctor, lawyer, great. But if you want to build surfboards or work on bicycles or whatever, you know, find something that you that gets your rocks off, basically. You know, you enjoy going to.
Yeah.
And now picture yourself doing it when you're in your 50s or 60s.
Yeah.
And if it still gets your rocks off, then that's the career for you. He goes, everything else is just a job.
Yeah.
You know, in between all that.
That's big, and not a lot of kids hear that. You know?
No, they don't. Yeah. They don't. And I think part of it was because my dad, you know, had a passion for baseball because he was in the minor leagues.
Oh.
And he knew that I had a passion for music. So that was the one thing that we shared, was the idea of a passion for something. And so, yeah, he was a big supporter of my music. He didn't understand it half the time. You know, because he would go, you know, I hear you go in your room and you make this noise, you know.
What are you doing in there?
And everything. And then he goes, you come back out and you go, Dad, listen to this. And he goes, you hand me a cassette and I hear a song. And I'm going, how in the hell did you do this? You know, because what I heard was on the tape. You know, it was because he heard everything individually.
Yeah.
And, you know, then he finally heard the final product.
That's
so
cool.
He was very proud of that, and that I was able to do those things, you know, and it just mesmerized him every single time.
That's really cool.
Yeah, you know, and then he'd come out for certain shows, too, to see me play and everything, which was really nice. You know, everything from just, like, headlining at the local club to, you know, opening up for the Oak Ridge Boys or playing at Knott's Berry Farm or whatever, you know. So he was a really good supporter of that.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah. Yeah. And what was really nice, I think, between me and my dad is that we got really close in high school, where I think most times father and sons kind of butt heads a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, that's when I got close to my dad. And I think a lot of it had to do with we both went to the same high school. And it was kind of like a Back to the Future thing. It was 30 years apart. And he graduated in 1958. I graduated in 1988. So, and to go to the same school, have some of the same teachers there also.
Wow.
And everything, you know. It was kind of neat, you know, to share that thing with my dad.
Yeah.
And I literally took my dad through high school again. I think he had more fun with me than he did going his actual 2.5 years that he was there.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that was an awful lot of fun. How about you and your dad through high school? Was it tough? Was it easy?
I think I was more the opposite, like the distancing myself and locking myself in my room. And it was more after I was grown up and an adult that I then could talk to him more, have like real conversations. Because that was more about me, like, growing up, and he was there, like, ready and waiting. But, like, I was like, I don't need anybody.
You're not my real dad.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. I don't have a dad.
Yeah.
I just came here, and I know everything now, you know. So anyway, yeah. Happened so, later.
And kind of reconciled a little bit?
Yeah. Like just strengthened the bond.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I was kind of fortunate because, like I said, most kids, they don't get closer to their dads, you know, and where I did. And it was that way from up until my dad passed. You know, so I was very, very grateful that we had a real strong relationship like that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right.
It was really cool. So, but yeah, that'd probably be the best thing, the best advice my dad gave. So we got some other ones here though. So again, it's a little bit more on the serious side of things here. My dad told me about love that I should look for the Queen of Hearts and not the Queen of Diamonds.
Oh.
That's pretty good advice there.
Yeah. Never allow a man to honk the horn for you to come outside.
For the daughters? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Go and knock on the door and ask, is she home? Is she ready?
What if it's like Uber Eats dropping off a...
Okay, well...
Well, they're not going to still honk the horn, you know. No. They'll knock on the door and
don't
walk away.
Okay.
Yeah, it's right. A whole totally different thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's like my pet peeve when someone just, like, texts me, I'm here. I like it when they... Well, for me, now that I live in an apartment, I can't do that. But, like, whenever I go and pick someone up, I always knock on the door.
Yeah. See here. My dad was a firefighter. He said, always know two ways to get out of any building.
Hmm.
That's actually pretty good advice, too, because you never know with... way things go nowadays, too, yeah.
Yeah, you have an exit plan.
I have an exit plan for everything.
Oh, this is timely here. There's a difference between a job and a career.
Very true.
Yeah.
Very true. Don't turn down a job until it's been offered to you.
How would that work? Would you, like, walk in somewhere and tell them you don't want to work here?
It's kind of like, I guess what they're trying to say is... You know, if you're applying for something or whatever, you know, don't turn it down if they're calling you back, you know, unless it's absolutely been offered.
Okay.
And believe me, I've been going through that the last couple of months, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I like this one. If you can't be good, be discreet.
True. That's a good, that's actually, yeah.
You don't have, to post it all over social media.
This one is actually a great one, too, because I got closer to my grandparents as I got older. Never regret time spent with your grandparents. I know with my grandmother, I would go over to her house and help clean the house, and before she passed, it was really nice because it kind of sometimes interfered with my Sunday schedule or whatever, but I'd never mind going over, because sometimes I would try to clean the house as quick as I can, not to get out of there, but so that her and I could sit down and have conversations. Uh-huh. Yeah, and we had some great conversations. So, which is really nice.
Oh, I've heard this one said before. Not in Washington so much, but if you, if you always tell the truth, you never have to remember anything.
That is so true. That is so true.
That's a good one.
This is a good one. Show up for family. Very true.
It's always about the money, especially when people say it's not about the money.
It is always about the money.
Oh, that in sports, right, Oz? We hear that.
It's all about the money.
Show me the money. This is actually a good one, too. Never buy a houseboat, buy a lake house.
Pace yourself on the hiking trail and in life.
Very true.
Yes.
That's a good one. Those who dance have to pay the piper. Your actions have consequences.
Yeah.
But sometimes you do want to pay the piper, though, because sometimes he plays a pretty good song.
Pay the musicians their due, right?
Exactly. Yes. We need the money.
For their skills, yes.
Exactly.
There you go. Win-win.
Exactly.
When traveling, always pack a bathing suit.
See, that sounds more like my mom.
That does sound like a mom.
More of a mom thing.
And but, clean underwear, yeah.
Also learn how to pack small, because you'll save so much on, like, the baggage.
Yeah.
I don't even remember the last time I had a huge suitcase with me, even when I was traveling for months.
Yeah,
I learned how to pack, like, a good amount of stuff in a small carry-on.
Yeah, my secret, especially going across the pond, going across the Atlantic, is, man, money is light. Bring money. You know, bring the minimum clothes and crap you need and then just be prepared to buy stuff when you get there, especially if you're going to be there for like a month or longer.
Yeah.
You know, just buy it. Just don't even mess around.
This is a good one here. Always give a strong handshake. No dead fish.
That's
so
classic
true.
Dad advice, too.
Yeah, right.
So true.
Firm handshake.
So true. Yeah, exactly. Happy, right?
Look them in the eye.
Yeah. Bring them in close.
Right.
What do you want?
But nowadays, you don't know if they're going to go with the thumb back kind of thing or
what?
The, like, guys do that handshake, too.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
That's a bro thing.
I think
it's a bro thing. It's kind of telling, though, like, how complicated they want to do it and then do a half hug.
Hug
and, you know, it's like, you don't know what you're getting into with some of these.
Yeah.
Some of these guys.
Do you know how to do the bro? You just go like.
They are doing a bro handshake right now.
Yeah, I don't know. We high five in the airplanes.
Is that a big ritual?
Yeah, 10,000. Everyone checks their gear, and then everyone like says goodbye to each other on the plane.
Wow.
Does this might be the last time? Or
might be.
Oh. I just go thumbs up.
Never know.
Yeah, you never know.
I know. You're saying your last goodbyes. Like, yeah. Damn, okay.
Yeah, it's like, good luck, well, have fun, see you there.
Either way, one way, you'll see each other at the bottom, so.
Damn.
It's true.
You'll meet at the bottom.
Meet at
you
the
won't
bottom.
Necessarily
meet at the bottom.
See each other.
Either way.
Wow. Okay, right. Well, I think there's one more.
Yeah, you got one here.
You're only as rich as the number of choices you have.
Oh. That's a good one.
I've actually got a good one, too, from Sandy Koufax's father, who once told him it's spend your time wisely and your money foolishly.
Oh.
I like that one.
That is good. Yeah. Yeah, don't get caught up in the money.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, choose what you want to do, but then, you know.
And he retired young.
Money is tough. Yeah, of course. Yeah. Nice. Explicitly. Because he wanted something left in the tank. You know, he wanted to live his 30s, you know.
There you go.
In regular life and stuff like that. So.
Cool.
So he took it to art.
Well, you know, we wanted to do a thing that here, a tradition at the at your weekly dose where. Mark and Brian, as you guys know, are people that we admire here on the show and that we kind of pattern our show after their show and everything. So they did a PSA years ago for Father's Day. I know this is the first time you're probably going to be hearing it.
We'll see.
And it's pretty good. It's very tongue-in-cheek. You can't take it too seriously, whatever. And there's some half-truths, I think, to this a little bit. So here we go. We'll be playing. You see it?
PSA?
Yeah, the PSA. So here we go. Mark and Brian giving their Father's Day PSA.
Hey, kids. As you probably know, this Sunday is Father's Day. And if you want to make your father really happy, we've got a few words of advice for you.
First of all, don't get him some lame present like a mug with his name on it or your picture or some stupid picture that you drew at school. He doesn't want crap like that. Don't kid yourself.
All your daddy really wants for Father's Day is some time alone with your mommy. So get the hell out of the house and let your parents have the kind of fun they used to have before you came along and ruined everything.
But before you leave the house, do daddy a favor and tell mommy to lay off the sweets for a few days. Maybe have her run around the yard for a while so she's not so thick around the waist and butt.
Daddies like mommies who don't look so much like mommies, but more like mommy's hot friend, the yoga instructor. Or your babysitter with the big cans. You know, the one going to night school.
In fact, get daddy your babysitter's phone number. If mommy's too tired, like she usually is, she can just watch your daddy and the babysitter cuddle. She doesn't have to do anything. That's what she's best at anyway. You know, lying there and doing nothing.
Also, let daddy know if it's mommy's time of the month. If it is, you can push Father's Day back till next weekend. See, daddy wants some time with mommy, but not if she's all bloated and bitchy.
Just remember,
damn,
you're the reason that mommy and daddy don't get along that well anymore. You're also the reason for daddy's internet porn addiction.
Don't get us wrong. Your daddy loves you. He just doesn't want you around anymore. After all, if he didn't spend so much money on your food and clothes, he could afford to buy mommy some new boobs.
The thing daddy really wants is his life back. You know, the life that you stole when you came into this world and ruined his and mommy's relationship.
So Father's Day is something you want to make good for your father. Go away. Because if your folks end up getting a divorce, it's your fault no matter what they tell you.
Paid for by the horny, tired, and sick of the kids ruining everything, Dads of America.
Wow, that turned quickly. That went dark in a hurry. Yeah. It's a real bleak look into this family's life here.
I was expecting something cynical. What happened there? Damn. Doesn't speak well of. Are you sure today is not like divorce lawyer day or something like that?
Absolutely.
Because this show is starting to turn into that. It's starting to turn into griping about marriage.
All right, guys. Well, like I said, we got to take that tongue in cheek, you know. That's all it is. Nothing more than fun. If you take it seriously, then you're a freaking idiot. So,
what? Jeez, you better not take that seriously.
Some people do.
Wow. You know? Yeah.
Some people do. If you can't take a joke, change the channel. Shit. Speaking of changing the channel, let's change the channel right now with Sports right. with our buddy Oz.
Right. All right. We're wrestling. Wrestling with our conscience. Wrestling with our budget. Wrestling with
words.
Some guy in a mask who wants to put me in a suplex. Figure four, a leg lock. Has your Vince McMahon had to step down as CEO?
I read about some wrestling. Bad stuff he had been doing.
Yeah. He paid hush money. The whole hush money concept is kind of bizarre to me. Like, okay, so it's a relationship with consenting adults, and then one of the people pays the other one not to say anything. Okay. I don't understand.
Where do I get that job?
Yeah, exactly.
I want that job.
Okay, so I don't get it. I mean, they're investigating him because they want to see if it came out of the company's funds and thus he didn't pay taxes on it or whatever. You know, they're getting him on the Al Capone thing. But, you know, I guess that's the crime, huh? I guess using company funds for personal, you know, benefit or whatever.
Yeah, I mean,
personal use.
I guess there's been a pattern, right, of behavior with him.
I guess, yeah. Well, so. Why not? He's in a interesting line of work, let's say, with a lot of body stuff, macho humor,
right.
Et cetera, et cetera. You know, a lot of pretty athletes, et cetera. Otherwise, let's see, in sports, well, obviously the headline is Warriors, huh? Mm-hmm. How about them Warriors? A historical, fourth title win. Steve Kerr now has 9 titles as a player and a coach combined. Stephen Curry is now, I think, forever going to be that team's guy, you know, in the same way that Michael Jordan is in Chicago or Magic is for the Lakers, to be honest. I mean, you can talk about Kobe all you want, but it's really Magic's team. He really put that team into the public consciousness. And so, you know, for me, that's the number one story. It's kind of too bad that it wasn't Milwaukee, the defending champions, because that would have been an interesting series. Mm-hmm. However, I really think that they probably would have beaten Golden State. So I think in the end, I'm kind of happy that Golden State did win. I think it's good for the game. I think it's good for history. And it's going to be really interesting to see what they do next season. Mm-hmm. You know, this is not your typical dynasty situation. Their guy, Iguodala, who once won the most valuable player in the championship series, he hardly played in this series.
I was going to ask you about that because, I mean, how did he get that title when he, you know, was hardly even in the series overall?
Oh, no, this was a few years ago when he got the MVP. And it was kind of controversial because he mostly got it for his defense. And in that series, he was defending LeBron James, who actually managed to put up 30 points a few times. So it was kind of controversial that they gave him the award that year. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. You know, you talk about Klay Thompson, who basically was injured for the past 2+ seasons. You know, the whole COVID thing he missed, the whole, and then he got injured right after that again. So, you know, but he did not look like himself all this playoffs. You know, his best years are probably behind him. Steph's best years are behind him, but, you know, he's an all-star. So 35, he's still got 3-4 more championship years out of him. But it's just, you know, it's an interesting situation because they also have this whole new wave of young guys coming in as well. Gary Payton, Otto Porter, you know, Javon Looney, guys like this. Mm. So it's going to be really interesting to see them going forward. And you know, the truth is everybody loves Steph Curry. And as a Lakers fan, I got to be happy that the Celtics lost. That's great. It's kind of too bad they turned into zombies at the end. But I will say this, man. Thank you very much, because I won nice at the sports book on 5 games out of 6. I picked dead correct. After that game one, I was bam, 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 bam. So thank you very much. I turned a nice profit.
Very
Celtics and Warriors. Let's see. Oh, okay. I want to do a little bit of house cleaning. Let's talk about the Angels, huh?
Oh, boy.
Under new management, Phil Nevin, they're now 3-7.
Oof. How about that, huh?
In the 10 games since he's been manager. However, they are 2-4 in their last 6. I'm going to talk some more specifics about the Angels in a minute, but you guys are kind of, you like baseball enough.
Oh, yeah.
Does the whole interleague thing still rankle with you?
No.
No, seriously, do you?
I just sort of ignore it. It doesn't do anything for me either way.
Yeah, I mean, like, to look up and it's June and the Angels are playing the Mets. It's like, what is going on? Yeah.
I think I've always liked it. I thought it was kind of cool because you got to see teams play that never had a chance to play against each other before, you know, and to see what it's really like. I mean, the only time you ever got to do it is when you played the video games. You know, I mean, it's the truth.
Or the World Series, though.
Yeah.
And that's what made it so special is that, see, now it doesn't matter. Now, both teams play with the DH, both sides play with the DH. There's no real style difference anymore. There's really no financial difference anymore, which was the main reason why. Mm-hmm. They were separated in the first place. I mean, they used to be separate leagues.
Right.
You know, so now...
Well, they're still separate leagues, but now they're incorporating certain things of each other.
Yeah.
You know, but look how long it took, though, for that to happen.
Yeah, 100 plus years.
But, I mean, the interleague games, I mean, I always thought it was cool because it's like, in my lifetime, how many times would I see the Dodgers and the New York Yankees perform together or play together in the World Series?
Right.
You know, at least now with Interleague, I at least get to see that happen on a regular basis now.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. But, you know, because I would, how often am I going to see that in the World Series?
I wish that American sports would do a little bit more like British sports and Australian sports, where you have derby games. You know, so every year you play a certain team, usually the local team, once. Right. So, in other words, like if every year the Dodgers and the Angels played like 4 games, that would be awesome.
Well, they did.
Right? Just have a local series.
They did.
But they change it every year, right? Next year they'll be playing who's it going to be? It's going to be Braves, maybe?
No, us. We always had something called the Freeway Series, and it always started the season before anything really started, and that was
pre-season.
The only time. No, this has been going on since I was a kid.
What, the Dodgers?
The Freeway Series. Yeah.
Yeah, but that would have to be cross leagues.
Right.
Yeah, it's an exhibition series.
Right.
But
you're saying
count.
It never happened. No, it did happen.
Count.
It happened before the season started. And that was the only time that we would get to see our two local teams play against each other.
I guess, the Yankees and the Mets did that, too. They played for the Governor's Cup or whatever it was called.
Yeah. But we call it the Freeway Series.
Yeah.
You know, and it always started right before the season started. So that's what I'm saying. You can't say that it never happened.
But it's an exhibition game. It doesn't count, right?
Well, I didn't say it counted. You said it never happened.
Well, okay. All right. But, you know, I was speaking in the context of the regular season. In any case, okay, great.
Yeah.
Like I say, nowadays it makes more sense, but it just rankles me a little bit. You asked last time, like, why all the losing? Well, at least now we can pin it on something. Here's the last 5 games. Lose 8-1, win 4-1. Lose 4-1, lose 2-0, lose 4-1. Game before that, lose 7-3. So I'm going to blame the hitting right now.
Mm-hmm.
Syndergaard has picked it up in the pitching. He's still terrible outside of California. I don't have any idea why.
Ain't that great in California.
ERA is like 6 or something. No, his ERA in California is like 2. You know, he's pitching okay. It's just, you know, the bats aren't supporting him lately.
Yeah.
So that's that. You also asked about the future of softball players after they graduate mm-hmm. college. And I did some research because what actually happened was, and I remember this, is at the time of COVID, right, they canceled the 2020 season of what was called, I forget what it was called, the Fast Pitch League or something like that. Mm-hmm. And this had been around since about 2004 or so. And they canceled this season, but then guess what? Killed the whole league, right? COVID killed the whole mm-hmm. league. This year, they're starting up play in a new league. It's called the Women's Pro Fast Pitch League. And the website is WProFastPitch.com. Mm-hmm. And, but it's not much of a league. It's two teams. It's,
well, that kind of narrows it down.
Yeah, it's sort of a, it's kind of like if you remember Major League Soccer in the, or no, North American Soccer League in the 70s. Before they folded, they were down to two teams. They were down to the Cosmos and the Vancouver Whitecaps.
Wow.
And then they just said, well, screw it. You know, aside from making the schedule easy, this
right.
this isn't very good for a league. So, but the thing is, like, it's not really a league, these two teams, right? It's more like, it's almost like they're barnstorming teams. And I thought it was pretty interesting in that, yeah, it's kind of like old school. Because this is the way baseball started.
Mm-hmm.
This is the way baseball started. And even in the 20s, 30s, before World War II, in the off season, like, I was reading this about the 1924 Washington Senators. They win the World Series, and the next day, they were playing in, like, an exhibition game in, like, Allegheny, Pennsylvania, or something like this.
Mm-hmm.
So, literally, they're ending the World Series game. The president's on the radio talking about them, and they're on a train going somewhere else to play against a local team. I mean, imagine that. That's the way sports used to be in this country. Mm-hmm. So I thought it was pretty interesting that they can do this, but the reality is that probably, you know, it's just going to be a couple hundred people are going to enjoy this sport. You know, the league will fold again. You know. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a bummer, yeah. But at least Jocelyn Allo has somewhere to play. All the games are streamed on the website I just mentioned,
okay.
WPro Fast Pitch, if you're into that. So, yeah, should be worth a look anyway, if you're into softball.
Cool. Very awesome.
Any others? Colorado is winning the Stanley Cup.
Okay.
Yeah, hey, Andre Vasilevsky got torched for 4 goals, 3 in the first period last game. But
it's early.
Other than that, he's been awesome. He had one bad game against the Rangers, and he's been just as unstoppable as ever. The Lightning might win their third in a row.
Has the Triple Crown happened yet, or is it coming up still?
The Horsies?
Yeah.
No, I think we missed the third race in that already. I'd be damned if I'm coming to you guys for advice again. The crystal ball did me pretty well last time, but all it told me was that the horses I liked weren't going to win. And it was
Which is telling you didn't. Something. So, hey,
yeah,
there you go.
It told me something, but no, not for me. I'm on a nice run in betting right now. I also won a couple of World Cup qualifier games, too, which I should say congratulations to Australia and Costa Rica. Were the last teams that qualified. I won both of those in bets.
Yay.
However, I should say that Australia is really kind of an ugly team. They're playing really ugly ball. So I'm not going to...
Oh, I thought you meant they looked ugly.
No, they're actually... No, see, that's the thing. That's the thing about soccer guys, right? Like
the best.
Yeah, they are. They're the best looking guys out there. And it makes sense, too. The reason why is they got no body fat. They can't have body fat. And they're not, like, distorted, like... Either basketball guys who are like freaks of nature or football guys who are built up to like, you know, they look like these.
Hockey guys are almost the same way, too.
Mutated potatoes.
Almost the same way. Exactly.
Yeah, if you don't care about like teeth or face or scars.
Who cares about
Wayne
that?
Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky's a good looking guy.
No, and plus in soccer, you're out in the sun all the time.
Tanned and.
Yeah, you're tanned. Okay. I mean, seriously, I honestly believe that's why.
I'm glad we pinpointed
like tag team or anything.
Issue.
His daughter's cute.
Yeah, she is. Yeah, she is. Absolutely. All right. Well, there we go. That we got sports.
Dumb as can be, though. She just stands there.
That's a good reenactment.
And then, that was quite
wow.
That was
and then Wayne Gretzky goes, "No, over here." And she goes, "Okay."
maybe she hasn't been asked to do a lot in her life.
I imagine not.
Yeah.
Is that easy?
Maybe she got hit with the puck too many times.
Yeah.
The front row.
Yeah.
Good front row.
All right. There we go. And that's Sports with Oz. Thank you, Oz. All right, as I said earlier, guys, we're kind of doing everything about Dad's Day because tomorrow is Father's Day. And I had a couple of friends of mine recently become new dads. So with that being said, you're a father of two.
Yeah,
of
course. I am.
I got one. What would you give, what kind of advice would you give new fathers?
Oh, jeez. That's a good one and a tough. I would say like find other dads that you're kind of comfortable with, peers. You know, some are peers your age, some are maybe older that have been through it, and try to find a network of other guys that you can talk to, other dads, to like get perspective and get like, don't try to do it alone.
Okay.
You know, and if you find those like a mentor or like a friend that's around this in the same boat, you know, to go through all that stuff together, and of course. Your wife or partner or husband or not a spouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, like.
Significant
like
other.
Yeah, whomever that may be, to like really have that connection as well to do it together, because it's tough. It's tough if you feel you have to burden it all on your shoulders alone, I think. So, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help.
Yeah, I remember I had a buddy of mine. I just spoke to him yesterday, and he went through something really tough recently to where his, for whatever reason, his kidneys started to not function properly, and we almost lost him. And they gave him, he was in the hospital, they kind of gave him drugs to where the T cells were attacking, and so they gave him the drugs to where when they get an operation for organ transplant,
yeah,
to help kind of reverse so that the organs are more responsive, yeah, and so forth. It was pretty bad. We almost lost him. We really did. And he's got four kids.
Wow.
And so I talked to him yesterday. He sounds great. Sounds healthy. It seems like he's kind of out of the woods to a degree,
yeah,
you know. And I remember, you know, when he came to me asking, like you were saying, you know, advice or whatever about being a dad. And at that time, he was having a rough relationship with his dad, to the point where he kind of stepped in and asked his dad to leave, basically, you know, use his mom and you know, whatever. And I said, your dad's a perfect example of what not to do. So when you do have your kids, do the opposite.
Hmm.
You know, give them the attention they want. Give them the love that they want.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said earlier, I had a great relationship with my dad. I could go to him on any subject, you know, and have a good discussion with him and get really good advice and what his point of view of certain things were. And, you know, when my dad passed on his deathbed, you know, it wasn't one of those things where I said, geez, Dad, I wish we could have done this or done that. It was, thank you for all the things that you taught me, you know. And, you know, I lost my dad when I was 38. So I was young, he was young. And, you know, I felt there was still a lot more I could learn from him.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was tough. Losing my dad at that age was extremely hard on me. And it still is to this day. But if I was going to give advice, you know, to new fathers, is don't worry about playing with your kids right away. They're still babies. They're not going to know difference. They're going to want mom.
Yeah.
You know, for the first 2.5-3 years, really, they're going to want to be around mom. That's just the nature of it. But when they start really kicking in, is about that 3-4 year old type of thing. That's where I think you really get to have fun as a father.
Yeah.
You know, you get to wrestle with them, knock them down or whatever, especially if they're boys, you know, and have that fun that you are yearning for, I think. And up until then, just take a bunch of pictures, you know, so that way you've got those memories there, you know. And then just from that point on, just have a blast and enjoy every moment you can. And I know with my son now, I mean, he just finished being his junior year in high school. Next year, it's senior. Mm-hmm. So it's his last year. Mm-hmm. It's going to be very emotional because it's the last of the last, mm-hmm. you know, for high school. And it's, you know, up until that point, I've enjoyed every stage. Yeah, you know, because they're between, let's say, 5 and 10, you get to do this. Between mm-hmm. 10 and 12, you get to do this. Become teenagers, you get to kind of do this, you yeah. know. So, and I've enjoyed it every single moment, you know, with it. And just take your time with it. Take it all in. Don't take it for granted.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So now you got two boys. What's the ages though? I always forget.
15 and 13.
Okay. So they're both teenagers right
now.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
That's close to like my sister's ages.
Yeah. Yeah. And there was a point where I realized they weren't interested in all the things I wanted to share with them. Uh-huh. Like, they didn't want to watch Lord of the Rings or listen to The Smiths. And so I was like...
Well, The Smiths I can understand.
But, what age?
They're teenagers.
Oh, so right now.
Right now.
Okay, yeah, no.
But they
no
weren't
way.
Four and I was playing The Smiths for them. But, no, like,
but Lord of the Rings.
My dad was.
Was he?
Oh, sure.
So I took an interest in what they were into so that I could just, you know, so I'll learn about Pokemon and I'll learn about Fortnite and then we have something to share and talk about.
There's some things I still don't understand, you know, with my son on certain games or whatever. And I just kind of, I just let it go.
Yeah.
Because I just don't get it. You know, right. I kind of go, okay.
Right.
You know, but there's certain things that we've shared through the years also. Like, I remember coming home, and I'm talking about, like, he was like about four or five years old, somewhere around in there. And my wife was so proud because she made him learn something. And I come home, and he, you know, that running up to dad when you come home is so cool, you know. And then she goes, okay, tell daddy who plays drums for Bon Jovi, Dick Altarez. And who plays keyboard, David Bryan. And like, he just kind of went down the list.
That's so funny.
You know, and I was like, okay, well, who plays bass? Hugh McDonald. Okay, who plays guitar? Richie Sambora, and then he sings too. And who sings? John Bon Jovi, and then he played guitar later on too. And, you know, it was one of those things, you know, I'm like, I'm crying now because I'm so proud.
Yeah.
You know, it's like this is kind of cool.
New preschool requirements.
Yeah, exactly.
Love you that know. Indoctrination of the kids.
Yeah, and I remember the first concert we took him to was actually the Wiggles. Yeah, you know, because you got to do those concerts.
Wait, me
classic.
Too.
You know, really the Wiggles?
Yeah.
Okay.
I went
but his young. First rock and roll concert was Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
And we got tickets on a last minute kind of a thing, and it was so funny because we were sitting behind the band. And they took off the tarps for the keyboards and the drums or whatever. And my son got so excited. He's like, Dad, look.
Yeah.
Look, that's Tico Torres' drum set.
Right.
You know. And, you know, it was kind of cool to, you know, to share those things. I remember sitting there, you know, next to my wife and everything. And I'm looking at her and I'm looking at him. And I'm going, let's see. Her first concert was Jack Wagner at the Kennedy Center. My first concert was Jose Feliciano at Knott's Berry Farm. My son's first rock concert, Bon Jovi. I'm like, we're moving up in the world.
Yeah.
You know, kind
upgrade.
Of thing.
Upgrade.
Yeah. Oh, total upgrade. Yeah. Total upgrade, you know. What are some of the fun things that you do with your kids, though?
Oh, guy. We've been making movies together. Like, just, you know, they have ideas and they write them out. We just finished. We just finished like a half hour film that my youngest son wrote and directed.
Oh, wow.
And we kind of learn a little bit of camera work and editing together and kind of make those together, put them, share them with friends and things like that. That's something we like doing together.
So they ever come up to you and go, hey, Jack, can you do a Bender Musial commercial for us?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, right. None of that.
not yet.
No, I don't want to be typecast in everything. Wilford Brimley. Yeah. So just being creative. We did a lot of stories together and shooting stuff, and that's always fun. Yeah. So how about you?
Try to pass on certain things, but I also understand and realize he's his own person. Yeah. You know, like, I never wanted him to follow in my footsteps of being a musician or any of that, or in entertainment, unless he absolutely wanted to.
Yeah.
You know, like, I remember when he was born, you know, people would ask, so you can teach him to play guitar? And I went, no. Well, why not? Because he's only a week old. Hello. You know.
Right.
And I said, look, his father's a musician. He's going to be in the element. He's going to see these different things. It's going to be up to him to decide whether he wants to do it or not. I'm not going to push him into it, you know. And that was the one thing that my dad respected me an awful lot. Because my dad's thing was baseball. I played Little League 1 year, and that was it. I'm sure he was extremely proud, and he showed me how to pitch or whatever at that age. But when I found, you know, the whole thing of music, everything just shifted for me, you know. And I don't think my dad was disappointed. I think he was relieved that I found my own thing. You know, yes, it wasn't something that we could share, but like I said earlier, we had that passion in common.
Yeah.
For something.
Yeah.
And same thing with my son. You know, I want him to find that passion, you know, or go out and sing or do whatever he wants to do in the entertainment industry because he enjoys it. He wants to do it. So I had an early talk with him when he was about 10 or so. You know, do this for yourself. Don't do it for me. Don't do it to be on my good side.
Yeah.
You know, I want you to do it because you enjoy pleasing the crowd or the applause or whatever.
Yeah.
And he does it. I mean, he's done choir all 4 years of high school and, you know, the 3 years of middle school. So it's his own thing, really. And, you know, he plays piano, and he's a better piano player than I am. I still just hit the chord and the root, you know, and he's out there almost like Liberace or, you know, or Elton John or something. You know, he's definitely better than I am.
That's cool.
So, but make sure that he carves his own path. You know, that's the important thing.
Yeah. What is going on? I'm killing it with the dad soundtrack here.
Yeah, really.
I know. How is your relationship with you and your dad? I picked up on that,
but why? We're not too close. But it's funny because, like, when you were talking about how you and your kids, like, are making movies together, like, I'm really the first one in my family who's in, like, the film and TV industry, both acting and, like, film. And so it's like, and I forget that they don't know some of the lingo sometimes. I'll be, like, talking about my job or talking about other stuff, and they'll be like, what is that? Like, it's like I'm, like, teaching my dad, like, all these, like, different, like, terminologies.
Yeah.
And my sister, she wants to be a screenwriter, and so she like would ask me, like when we're watching Stranger Things or whatever, she would ask me like questions because like she doesn't really know how film set works. She's in high school, she's like learning, and so I'd be like, we were talking specifically about the shot, so I'd be like, see how that shot changed? That was a whole nother take.
Yeah.
See how that shot changed? That was a whole nother, like, and teaching her, like, that. And
camera angles and
stuff.
Yeah,
and then also we were talking about, like, colors and how, like, we looked at the colors that the directors chose for Stranger Things, like, the symbolicness to each of them and stuff like that. And so that's, lately we've all kind of been, like, I've been teaching them a lot about the film industry from what I've learned.
That's cool.
That's cool, though. I mean, I think it's kind of neat when my son comes up to me and teaches me about certain things or shows me certain things. It's kind of neat because I get to view his window, you know, his world.
Yeah.
Or whatever, you know, of certain things or whatever. Like, I mean, I remember certain songs I would hear on the radio and where my dad goes, oh, well, that's so-and-so. You know, like, well, how'd you know that? Dad got cool all of a sudden. What the hell? You know?
Right.
Kind of a thing.
Right.
And, like, I remember there was an incident where I was playing Poison in my car. My dad and I were going having lunch somewhere, whatever. And it was their version of Logan and Messina's Your Mama Don't Dance.
Uh-huh.
And what's ironic is that it's like the last cut on that album. And so we're listening to it, we're driving, we're talking, and my dad hears a song, he goes, wow, that band really scraped the bottom of the barrel to pick that song, huh? Yes, you're right. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, well, that's an old cover song of this. I'm like,
yeah.
Really? And I looked at it, I went, oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so.
My dad did that with Social Distortion. I'm listening to Ring of Fire, and he goes, oh, Johnny Cash. I'm like, this is Social Distortion.
My dad, like, basically raised me on, like, Johnny Cash and, like, David Bowie and all those.
That's great.
Yeah.
Now, Oz, you've got, what, daughters?
I've got three.
You got three.
Oh, nice. I'm one of three.
A son and two daughters.
And how is your relationship with them? Is it close? Is it somewhat distant?
Well, my son lives in Fort Worth now. He's lived with his mom for a long time. But we get along fine. Yeah, we talk all the time. He's actually becoming a degenerate sports gambler as well.
Uh-oh.
I swear to God, that's not my influence. He came up this completely on his own, I swear to God. And then, my relationship with my daughters is okay. Mm-hmm. My older daughter is, she's going through a patch. But my younger daughter, I can't believe it. This is my first child who actually has wanderlust. You know, my other two are total home, you know, homeboys, homegirls, whatever. Just want to stay in the hood their whole lives or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, not the youngest one. The youngest one wants to go to high school in Budapest now. You know, she wants to go to back to her, you know, home country to finish high school and stuff.
That would be cool.
That was like dope. And then she wants to, like, in the summer, she wants to, you know, invite her friend from Kansas over, and they're going to go to Denmark because they always, for some reason, want to check out Denmark. And, you know, I'm just
that's cool.
Yeah, this is dope.
Forrest, did you, growing up, did your dad ever have any dadisms?
Oh, guy. Oh, of course. I mean, like he. I mean, I thought he invented the I walked uphill to school both ways in the snow. And when somebody else said it, I was like, oh, your dad went to my dad's elementary school? Because I genuinely thought he invented that. Like, and then I hear it all the time.
Oh, my God.
Now, what dadisms do you throw out nowadays?
I mean, I don't do the... So I do the opposite. Like, I don't try to, like, lecture and tell my kids how hard I had it because I didn't really have it that hard, you know? And so,
I walk downhill.
Right, I walk downhill.
Both ways.
Yeah. And so I try to catch myself from doing a lot of the stories that I know that they're not really listening to anyway. But I'm sure I still warn them of any peril and danger that anything might happen in any situation. So I definitely have some that I'm probably doing.
I like the ones where it's like, you know, when I was your age. You know,
I try to catch myself when I start with that sentence.
Those are fun.
The one my dad always says that I do say is, if it was a snake, it would have bit you.
Oh, yeah.
Because my kids never look for anything. They're just like, where are the books? And the books are like right next to them.
Right.
And it was like,
oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. And a little bit of dirt never hurt anyone.
Oh yeah, it fell on the floor. They just brush it off and then let you eat it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I think most dads, whatever, I think their favorite is probably go ask your mother.
Yeah, delegate that to your mom to make the decision,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
If we left the door open, they would definitely say, were you raised in a barn?
Yeah,
like
that's
leaving the screen door open or
I've
something.
I've gotten that.
Yeah.
You don't know what hard work is.
I heard that, yeah. Yeah. My dad was raised on a farm, so
he would say, yes, I was.
He would bring that up. And literally was. And he would bring that up all the time. I was up doing chores before school.
Yeah.
Were you raised on a farm? Well, I was.
I was,
yes.
So he could talk.
Yeah.
It builds character, that's why.
Yeah.
They were big on character building.
My grandfather was big on that one. It builds character, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I kind of heard this very little from my dad, though, but don't make me stop this car.
Mm-hmm. He'd kind of turn around.
Or turn his car around.
Yeah.
My mom told me that a lot of times, though.
Or he would just full-on turn around while the driving, and he wouldn't even be watching the road, and he'd just yell at us.
Or smack it, just try to reach
right,
him.
Right, lean towards him. Yeah.
And you got to time it so you can duck.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Money doesn't grow on trees, we chop down the money tree in the backyard. They'd say stuff like that, you know. Yeah.
Or how much?
Uh huh. Get to the bottom line here.
Yeah. How much? How much is it?
They chop down the money tree. Or where are the seeds?
I don't know.
Come on, man.
It used to be there, but it dried up. It's all shriveled.
A lot of money dadisms. Do you think I'm made of money?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Yeah,
I've heard that one.
My dad would say that.
And you'd want to say yes.
Or dads would get frustrated or whatever and go like, okay, you're gonna have fun whether you like it or not.
Mandatory fun. Yeah. This vacation.
Like, I don't know. Shark diving, I don't know, Dad.
It's like the Lampoon's Vacation, the Chevy Chase, like it was that kind of white knuckle, like you're gonna have fun, you know.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Exactly.
The classic. If someone told you to jump off a cliff, would you do it?
Oh, my gosh.
That was my mom. My mom would say that.
Really?
Yeah. And I would get hit because I would go, well, not again.
Right? You know,
she'd be like...
not after the first time, because it hurt the first time. You know.
But some do it out of playing.
Yeah. Right? And then my dad would say, well, the lawn's not going to mow itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of stuff is not going to do it itself. The trash isn't going to walk itself out.
Yeah. The leaves aren't going to rake themselves.
I think we know that, Mom. All right.
Yeah.
Oh, you'll understand when you're older.
Oh, good.
There is truth in that, though. There's a lot of truth in that.
We just don't want to hear it when we're a teen, right?
Yeah. But there is truth in some of that, because there are some things that I did not understand. until I was older.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's some truth.
But there's so, so much.
Won't get very far without these.
Yo, like when you're forgetting something?
Like the car keys especially.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, that's not going anywhere. You put some duct tape over something and, you know.
I've done that.
Right?
Oh. Duct tape or gaff tape or whatever. Yep. Like, oh, that's going to stay down.
That's good.
That's not going to go. You shake it, you move it around or whatever.
Gaff tape is expensive.
So's gaff tape too. $25 for gaff tape.
I know. When I searched the gaff tape, I was like, why? Like,
Yeah. And of course, here's our favorite last one.
Because I said so.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's when you're just out of things to say.
Never said.
Yeah. Because I said so.
Yeah. I got that an awful lot too.
Yeah.
They had nothing left.
Exactly. All right, guys. Well, time for the game.
Time for the game.
Yes.
All right. Let's go ahead and play that theme.
And now, the game show that kept men dumb enough to keep knocking up the same woman for 17 years straight. Quiz me. Quiz you.
All right. Of course, we got intern Christopher out there.
Hello.
He's got us some questions.
All father-related questions, you know.
And real quick to the affiliate side, we're going over a little bit of time here. We're going to try and get through these as quick as possible.
All right, question number one. Let's go. What year was Father's Day first celebrated?
Oh, wow.
Forrest? 1947.
No. When I get another year, I'll tell you who's closer.
Casey. 1932.
No, Casey is now closer.
Sean.
1915. No, Sean is not the closest.
Ooh.
Nia.
1920. No, Sean's still the closest. Oh. Oz, you got a guess?
Sure, I'll go 1913.
No, Oz is now closest, though.
Nia.
1910. That is correct.
Ah.
It's funny, because I was going to guess that first, but then I changed my answer.
How could you do that to yourself?
Right?
Question number two. Which musician starred as the father to his real-life daughter in the Disney Channel show Hannah Montana?
Forrest,
then Sean.
That's Billy Ray.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus, yeah.
That's Billy Ray.
That actually was a pretty good show.
Was it?
Yeah, it was.
Question number three.
That was my childhood.
That was my 30s.
Which founding Disney father Channel? Became the first ever president of the United States?
What? Forrest?
Forrest.
I believe it's George Washington.
Yeah. Which founding father?
They're referred to as founding fathers.
Like it's too obvious.
Too obvious.
Wow.
Hey,
we overthought that,
have
didn't
an
we?
Easy one here and there, you know. All right, question number four. What is the average age for first-time fathers in America?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Casey? 35.
No.
Oh, it's way old. That's
Nia.
Nia?
32.
No, Casey's closest, though.
Oh, Casey's closest.
Casey's close. What did you say?
Mm-hmm. It went up. It's
gone
up.
She said 35.
Yeah. It's
Sean.
Much older.
Sean?
37?
No. Okay. Sean is not closest, though.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's gone way up. It's gone way up, and birth rate has gone way low.
People are
average.
Yep.
Oz Forrest.
The United States is no longer. They're like
30.
1.27.
Forrest will say 36.
No. 37 is still the closest. Let Oz go real quick.
I'm gobsmacked. I couldn't even make a guess. 40.
That is correct. It's 40.
Wow.
That's insane.
I think that was my dad was like 38 or
That's
something
insane.
When he had me.
Insane.
Mm-hmm.
He's like 60 now.
Yep.
Oh. Actually, maybe 61.
Yeah, the United States
first
is
first time?
No, not the first time, but the United States is no longer like reproducing.
I know that. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, we're experiencing a negative birth rate just like
most
people.
Question number five.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, it is number five.
Good job.
Correct.
What is the name of the Adam Sandler film in which his character adopts a 5-year-old boy?
Casey.
Casey.
Big Daddy.
That is correct.
I actually had that one. I knew it.
And I can see the poster of them two pissing on the wall.
Yeah. Sweet Life Kids. All right,
question number six.
That was such a funny movie.
Which man, who is a devoted father of 10 children, is also known as the father of evolution?
Sean.
Forrest?
Sean, then Forrest.
Darwin?
Charles Darwin, yeah.
Charles Darwin.
Wow, he had 10 kids?
He was propagating the species.
I know, I was surprised, too.
Which one of you is going to survive? We don't know. Let's find out.
All right, question number 7.
Damn.
Will Smith and Jaden Smith, real-life father and son, also starred together as father and son in which movie?
Forrest. Forrest. I saw this, and I regret it, and I hated it so much, and it's burned in my memory. After Earth. After Earth. I want my money back, Will and Jaden.
Is that
slap? That's not the answer I have here.
Casey.
Casey?
The Pursuit of Happiness?
That's the answer I do have.
What? Yeah, what about it?
Okay, well, I'm still upset about After Earth.
Yeah, I still want my money back.
Yeah, me too. Back.
I'm you can bet later. Bet right, later. Down. Question number 8.
All right.
Absolutely.
Which royal prince has 3 children named George, Charlotte, and Louis, or Luis, I believe.
Louis.
Which
Sean.
Royal? Sean?
Prince Harry?
No.
Forrest. Prince William.
That is correct.
It ain't one, it's the other.
All right, question number 9. In the Bible, which father planned to sacrifice his son?
Oz. Abraham.
That is correct.
Ooh.
Correct.
Question number 10. Consumers spend how much less on Father's Day than on Mother's Day? And this is a percent, just to let you know.
Casey? 50.
No.
Sean? 30.
No, but Sean is now closest.
Forrest? 25%.
No, Sean is still closest.
Okay, so that means it's got a higher number than 30, then.
Yes.
It's in between 30 and 50, yeah.
Nia?
Cheapskates.
45. No. Sean is still closest, I believe.
What was yours?
Yes.
30.
Wait. Yeah.
Us? Take a guess?
Sure, yeah. I'm going to go 33.333333.
No. Oz is now closest, though. We're narrowing in.
All right, Sean.
35. No, we're so close, though.
Nia. 34?
No, go back up.
Wait, I want to go again.
Go ahead.
36.
No.
What the fuck?
37. 38.
No. 39. 40. Wait, I heard it.
38?
Yeah, there we go. Oh,
Jesus Christ.
Wow.
38% less.
Yeah, 38% less.
Shortchanging the dads. What the heck?
Yeah, spend more on mom.
Well, we just heard that thing about how they were complaining about getting mugs and pictures and all that stuff. So, how can you blame them?
Well, that's the game.
All right, I would take a mug,
Thank you.
I would take a mug.
I would. I can always use a mug.
All righty, guys. Well, thank you for joining us today. Sorry we went a little bit over to our affiliates. We can get out of here as quick as we can. Show's website is yourweeklydose.com. Facebook page, Your Weekly Dose. Twitter and Instagram is at Your Weekly Dose.
My name is Forrest Hartle. I'll see you next week.
My name's Nia. And
wow.
You're sure?
Wow.
Okay, I thought Oz was going next. My Instagram is Nia Caitlin Katstever, and my other Instagram is Katstever Studios.
I'm Oz Davis. Listen to Orville Mulligan, sports writer. Listen to the Rouge, White, and Blue CFL podcast.
Nice. I'm Casey. I am out of Facebook jail right now still, so it's Casey Nicole Summers.
It's a long run.
And guys, if you want to follow me, Sean, on any of the social media, good God, we're getting tongue-tied now. Any of the social media, simply Sean
Precious
on our Unplugged. Simple as that. Don't forget to also listen to us on Delmarva Talk Radio, 7 a.m. Wednesday through Friday mornings, and also on Lime City Radio at noon Wednesday through Friday. And if you guys enjoyed the show, don't forget to tell your friends about us, because we can't make this show grow without you. So help spread the word. Until then, guys, we'll see you next week. Be good to each other, and happy Father's Day. Out of these exciting, won't need bright lights, no we won't. Gonna make our own lightning. Hey, she got the way to move me, Jerry. She got the way to move me, Jerry, baby. She got the way to move me. She got the way to groove me.
Thank you for listening to this week's show. Don't forget to support the show by shopping on Amazon.
Just go to our website, yourweeklydose.com, click on the Amazon banner, and bookmark. Then start shopping. Remember to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at yourweeklydose1 and Facebook at yourweeklydose. We'll see you next week.